Father, we thank you and we bless you this beautiful day in the year 2015. Lord, we thank you because we have come into that dispensation of Jubilee. We have come into the dispensation of resurrection, when men are rising from the grave, when the dry bones are receiving life, when there is a quickening, there is a commotion in hell. Hallelujah. Because the captives are demanding to be set free. We come today, O God, to take up our pallets. We take up our crutches. We say we are going home. We are rising from the dead. We are picking up our minds, our emotions, and every part of our members. We say it is time to go home.
Amen.
We say we will arise and go back to our Father's house. We are going back to our estate in God. Lord, we receive grace to hear the voice of the archangel that begins to sound and is sounding this trumpet, this voice of the bridegroom to the bride. Lord, we ask, O God, that in the deepest recesses of our being, that this voice of the bridegroom will be heard.
Amen.
We ask for a response from the depths, for you say you want truth in the inward parts. We bring our inward parts as an offering.
Amen.
We ask you to clean it.
Amen.
To judge it.
Amen.
And Lord, to bring forth light.
Amen.
Even in these places of wickedness.
Amen.
And the kingdoms of our God, of this world, will become the kingdoms of our God.
Amen.
And of His Christ.
Amen.
We ask for anointing upon our ears, upon our eyes, upon our hearts. We ask for your glory over this assembly, over this environment. We ask, O God, that your word will be free, will be strong, will be effective and effectual. We ask that in all that you may be glorified.
Amen.
We ask for strength in our bodies, in our minds, to stay under your presence. We ask for a refreshing, that the weather will be refreshing to us. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. I like that song about Jubilee. Because it's a prophetic song. You know, the burden for this conference has been light. Amen. Uwana has been the theme of our conference. Uwana Basi.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, whenever I hear light, I get excited. Amen.
Amen.
You know, when God made, if you go to Genesis, by the way, we're going to do a study this morning.
Yeah.
I don't know how to shout like this, brother. They shout. So you have to forgive me if I do not shout like them. So you have to have your Bible open. Because we are going into that, your Bible, we are going to go into it this morning. Because we want to look at the vision. You know, the scripture that comes to mind is the story Jesus told about the man that built his house. That built his house on the sand. Another one built his house on the rock. And the difference was when the storm began to come. How many of us are in a storm now? I have people know there is a storm that's still coming. So if you are not in a storm, you are a very good brother. God bless you. But I would like to advertise you that if you do very well, you will see that you are already in a storm. And there is another one coming. So you need to make sure your house is on the rock. Because if your house is built on the rock, it cannot be shaken. Because we are seeing stars falling. We are seeing many departing from the faith. We are seeing many compromising. We are seeing those who once believed that you should come out from the Babylonian system going back. We are seeing compromise in marriage. Some don't even know, should I believe in traditional marriage or should I not believe in traditional marriage? And there is a big storm going on. And the Bible says some are carried by every wind of doctrine. Is man a god or is something else? So you have so many storms. And many are just being moved around. And when those things begin to happen, then you know there's a problem with the foundation. The foundation is not deep enough. Because if your foundation is strong, when the storm comes, it will not shake. So, my job this morning is to go back to the foundation. Because the scripture says, check yourself. Examine your faith. Whether it is still sound. The scripture says, if the foundations be taken away, then the people of God have a crisis. You know, so when God was making Adam in Genesis chapter 1, He said, let's make him in our image and likeness. So God, in making you, when God made you, He had two simple things in mind. What He called the image of God and what He called the likeness of God. Amen.
Amen.
So there is a physical aspect about you, and then there is the inward part. And that inward part is the one we are interested in. The likeness of God is light. Amen.
Amen.
The likeness of God is light. The opposite of light is darkness. So when God is telling us about light, then he's speaking about himself. It is something that is very dear to God. Amen.
Amen.
When you speak about light, you are speaking about Christ. And Christ is the Son of God. And Christ is part of who God is, part of the Godhead. How many of us know the scripture in 1 John chapter 5? Verse 5.
He
said there are three that bear witness in heaven. Verse 5-7.
Yes, I don't want to know.
Okay, let me read from 5 down to 8. It says, for there are three that bear witness or record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in Ibe, in the earth. The Spirit, the Word, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Amen.
Amen. And they were ready and they can read both. Tell me what you need to do with the Jesus of the Yanabasi. Amy, and Amy, Akasare, your mom, Egypt, Eddie, by Jesus Christ. This is how your mom is called. The Indians are your mom, yes, Egypt. Then spirit and things they call a spirit, didn't Akpanako. Spirit,
So there are three numbers, two numbers we'll see there. See the number one and the number three. So you have one God. And God has manifested himself to us in three dimensions. So you have the Father. You have the Father. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So there are three. So this is the image of God. Amen. That God is one God. We don't have three gods. He said to Israel, the Lord, you are God. It's how many gods? One God. But these three, this God we know, has manifested himself to us in three natures, or three forms. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And when we talk about the Son, we are speaking about Christ. And we know from Ephesians chapter 1. So you see, we are talking about many scriptures, so your eye must be going inside the scripture. So you can't sleep, because if from here I'll be seeing you now, I know you're not looking at your Bible. You know, many of us don't read our Bible. Today we'll be reading your Bible. If you don't have Bible, please look at somebody who has his Bible. Amen. Okay. So in Ephesians it says Christ has two parts. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us Christ has two parts. What are the two parts of Christ? Who can tell us? Who knows? The head and the body. So, Christ the head. And then Christ the body. So, who is the head? Who is the head of Christ? What is his name? Don't mention Mfanabasi, because his name is not Mfanabasi. Yes, what is the name of the head of Christ? Who is he? Look at the board now. There is the Father, there is the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Is that what we said? Good. And we are now talking about the Son. And the Son is Christ, is it not? Okay, and Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that the head of Christ is somebody. And then who is the body of Christ? Okay, wait, let's finish with the first one. Who is the head of Christ? What is his name? now with that, all of us are okay. Yes, what's the name? The head of Christ is God. Mm-hmm. Good. We have settled that one now. We're talking about Christ. Okay, let's read Ephesians 1. Let's read it. Ephesians 1. Because we are speaking about the image of God. Okay. We are reading Ephesians 1:22. And had put all things under his feet. I gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, and the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Okay, so Christ has the body of Christ has a head. Okay, and who is the head of the body of Christ? Okay, so Jesus is the head. Now, who was Jesus? Jesus was the Son of God. Or is. And is coming to be. Okay. So this Jesus, who was he? We know, but who was he? Who was he? Jesus was. Jesus could have been born in Igbe. Is that correct? Is that correct? Okay, so Jesus could have been born in Igbe. So he was a man. He was a man like you. And because he's a man, he's not different from the body. Is that correct? So when you speak about Christ, you are speaking about a group of men. Is that correct?
Yes.
When you speak about Christ, you are speaking about man. Because the head of that Christ was a man.
Amen.
So that is what the Bible means by the image of God. So God created man in his own image. And because of that, so we can see that this is Ime or Atman or Uwem or Ebere or Isaac or Ima. You can put your name. Amen. Or you put Brother O.S. O.S. So you can put your name. That is the image of God. Now, this man has three parts.
Huh?
Okay, let's read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want you to be writing it in your Bible, write it in your notes so I can look at it. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. 5:23. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless.
Jesus Christ.
So do you see that the thing we're writing on the board is the same? There is one God. And this God has three parts of three natures. And there is one man. And this one man has how many parts? Four parts. Has three parts. Oh, my red is not right. I have a feeling it doesn't clean. Okay. You see, the middle one is very important. So the middle part of God is what? Christ. The Son. And the middle part of you is which one? Is your soul. Okay. So when God is looking at you, he's not looking at you. He doesn't say spirit, soul and body, OS, come to me. He calls you by name. Amen. So God sees you. I see you. I see a natural person. But in you, there are three sections. Amen.
Amen.
So he said, let us make man in our own image. Let man be like me. So we are like God. But we are not God. Is that correct? Please, anybody that is a God, can you raise your hand? If you are not God. Okay, you are God. Which God are you now? The image of the Most High is not God. The image of the Most High is not God. The image of Moses is not God. It's created in the image. And he called them what? What did he call Adam? Did he call him God? So don't make God annoyed though. He says, male and female created he them. And he called them what?
Adam.
Made him man.
Adam.
Amen.
Amen.
So that's the beginning. Amen.
Amen.
So God created you to be a son of God.
Amen.
Amen. That has the image of God. Now, I know the scripture that says, but you are what? God. Where do you find it? Psalm 82. Okay. Because you see, I have many scriptures. There are maybe 1,000 scriptures to tell you today. Because you know, today it's me. It's two of us who are obsessed. These people are obsessed with their own. Now it's yeah. So we're not going to waste too much time on the scriptures that are not very important, but I will tell you that one. He said, you are God, but you shall die like what? Okay, let's read it. How can a God be dying also now? This God here in the Igbe dies. Okay, so let's see this Igbe God that dies. Psalm
82.
That's why I say bring out your Bible.
You know
the Bible is written in another language that's not English. What's that language? What's the language that the Bible was written in? Who knows? It was written in Hebrew. Who has Hebrew to read? You don't have Hebrew. I am quoting from in Hebrew. You see, this is the problem why the foundation has been destroyed. Because we have not gone deep. We have to go deep. So we're not taking anything for granted. We are going to go deep this morning. Amen. So my own Bible has Greek. And has Hebrew. My own has Greek and Hebrew. So would you permit me to read the Hebrew for you? Do you permit me? Even if you don't agree, I will read it. Okay, so we're going to read the Hebrew, the original, to see. What is he saying? God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, he judges among the gods. Okay, so that first word, God, let's see, small geo, let's see what it says. The Hebrew says Elohim. You use the word Elohim.
verse 6.
Okay. I read that one. Now, if you go down, another place where he uses the word God. Okay, that verse 6. He says, I have said, ye are gods. The same word, 4:30. Is the Hebrew 4:30. He uses the word Elohim. And Elohim, that word Elohim, can I'm reading from, if you have here, the concordance. How many people have a concordance at home? Brother OS. Yeah, it's not below. only one brother, that brother, what's his name again? Edidion has, and this sister. Anyone you have? Okay, another one has. You have to have it. Because you have to go deep in the word. Amen. Okay, so he uses the word, Elohim means a ruler. A judge, a divine one, an angel, or spirit or God, to be godlike, to be a chief. I added that one now. To be a chief. Because another one says magistrate. It's a high person. Alright, the a two bomb can also enter here. So when you use the word in the among the Greek Jews, when you say Elohim, the word El, what? Hebrew, Hebrew. When the word El means is used for God. So you can see Gabriel. Gabe means messenger of God. Huh? What do you say? Mike. It means like God. Do you understand?
Yes.
Do you know my name? El Joker. That's my name. Yeah, because the Chi and the El are the same. So as we say Chi, that's how they say El. So when you say El Ohim, it just means a big one like God. Okay. Good. So he says this Elohim, you are all, he says that in God you are all big. Are you not a big person? You know, Akwa Ibom means a big country, you know. Mighty country. So that's why when you are in God, you are like Akwa Ibom, you are big. Is there anybody who is small here? If you are big, say praise the Lord. So, all of us are big in God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But Elohim is not the only name of God. Who can tell us the real name of God? You see, now you have entered another one. And you know, that word cannot be pronounced. How many people know that it cannot be pronounced? So give me the real after. Now my wife was telling me, say very soon my board will be filled with things. Alright. That's like, but this is your wife, so Oh yeah, everybody pronounce that name. That is not what is there. Pronounce. Who wants to pronounce that name? Can you pronounce it? So the Englishman, in order to make it easy for himself, he started playing around with it. So what did he do? He went and put an E here, small E here. I put another O here. I put another A here. Oh yeah, everybody pronounce that one now. Yehovah. You see, and that's how we are all doing. We always bring God down to our level. When you bring God to your level, you corrupt it. So let us leave God where He is. Amen. So His name is what? You can't pronounce it. It's too big. Eh? Okay, so you breathe it. Hey, this man, he said, the man no book. He said, you breathe it. So, Yahweh is Elohim. Do you understand? All of us are Elohim, but there's only one. You breathe in now, you say, Yahovah. Okay, so have we settled the problem now? Man is, you can say man is Elohim, no problem. There is only one Jehovah. Amen. So when God says you are gods, He's warning you. He said, I have called you to be a son of God. I have called you to go from light to from darkness into light. God is prophesying to you when He says, ye are God. That you can be a son of the highest. You can be a son of God. But if you do not do that, you will die like a man. Amen. Do you understand? It's a prophetic word. But I understand that some rascals running around the whole of everywhere. They say, you are God. So pray to the God in me. Then I pray to the God in you. Can I pray to the God in this brother? Because the Christ in him is not fully formed.
Christ and his name,
is it not so?
Yeah,
there is Christ in him.
Christ more, I them more.
There is a measure of Christ in me.
It will be Christ, no more can.
And the Christ in me is ministering to the Christ in him.
Christ and Siva came, you know what I'm saying?
There's an agreement.
Amen.
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 But we cannot worship the Christ in him.
And you didn't see the equal no Christ and this name.
Because there is one God. He said, the Lord your God is what? One God. To Him you will worship. Amen. So when God says, let us make man in our image, He didn't want us to misuse it or to misunderstand it. Do you know what He did? He says, my son, go down. Let them see what it means to be a son of God. And you know, He did something like that also. On the Mount of Sinai, He said, Moses, drive away everybody. Drive away every goat. Drive away every bird. Everything that moves drives them away. Because God knew that if there was a goat that was there, they would say God looks like a goat. Hey! So He says, drive everything away. And then God came. And when God came, He came and revealed Himself. So God doesn't want us to make to have any doubt in our mind what He is speaking about. So He came and brought His son. He said, go and be an example. Somebody says, show us the Father. Do you know that brother? Even though He said, show us the Father, and we'll be happy. And Jesus said, have you been with me? And you have not seen God. Because Jesus was a expression of God.
Just
like God wants you to be an expression of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you are not yet convinced, so I will still go. Now, there was a man called Pontius Pilate. It was a Roman man.
Pontius Pilate.
It was a Roman man. A big man in Rome. They brought Jesus.
Jesus,
so examine. And the man came out and said, I have an announcement to make to you. I find no fault in this God. In this God. Is that what he said? Do you understand what we're talking about? The man says, I find no fault in this God. So Pontius Pilate is prophesying to you that you and I do not have any excuse. He says, I'm seeing a man in front of me now. He is created in the image of God. And as I look at him, there's no fault. He examined him, no fault. And the scripture in Romans says, the same spirit that was in Jesus. It's the same spirit that is in you. So if Jesus was without fault, you and I can and must have no fault. There are some people who are saying you can never overcome. That is not the gospel we are bringing for you. This gospel that we are preaching, you overcome everything. Bright price, overcome. You know, we are broken the record now. We marry in 30 minutes. He will give you a testimony. 30 minutes. We say we are not paying bride price. We do Zion wedding. I find in Genesis 24. We will give you gifts. And our gifts will be more than what is in your list. Why do you want to give us a list when what we are bringing is more than what is in your list? Throw away a list. We are Zion people. We appreciate good things, brother. Don't you appreciate good things? He that finds a wife finds a good thing, isn't also? We appreciate good things. Amen. So we will give you gifts. We will bless you in the name of God. So forget about your bride price. Because every soul that comes into the world has been bought already.
Yes.
Has been redeemed already. That's what he was preaching to you in the night. Ransom. Somebody paid money. And that money is blood. Do you understand? And the Bible says that blood was shed from the foundation of the world. Even before Nigeria became Nigeria in
1960.
Even before your great-grandfather was born. Even before Adam even came into the world. The blood of Jesus has been shed.
Yes. Jesus Christ.
That blood is an ancestral spirit. It is more it is older than the ancestral spirit in your family.
Glory to God.
So who is stronger now? Who should be paying bride price to who? The lesser pays price to the older one. So that blood is richer, older, stronger, bigger than any other price that can be mentioned. So when you are born into the world, there's a price already on your head. Why do you want to go and lower yourself and start bringing 10 naira? What's the number? 100 naira? What's the number? 1,000 naira. What's the
number? But you don't want to say about 1,000 naira.
Sisters, I resurrect. Resurrect in your mind. A part of the resurrection. Amen. You have been, Corinthians says, you have been bought with a price. Amen.
Amen.
Even in the Old Testament, there's something called atonement money. In Exodus, we call atonement money. In Leviticus, it's called redemption money. God says everybody in Israel must redeem himself. Amen.
Amen.
And God brought the Levites as a substitute for that money. What I'm telling you is sitting in Numbers 33. I think it's Numbers 33, I think. Is it 3? Numbers 3, okay. So when you go home, I don't have time to get into it now. Numbers 3. But they found out that there were more of the people in Israel than Levites. So God said, fine. Those who couldn't be redeemed by the Levites will bring redemption money. And when you take that redemption money, you take it to the priest and give him the money. When you pay bride price, you take money and you give it to the oldest man. Do you know that the oldest man is the priest? Huh? Is that also? Why don't you just give it to any boy you meet on the road? Any boy you meet on the road, say, I take redemption money. Because it is the price of blood. Bride price is the price of blood. Want to advertise you? When you go and pay bride price, you are rejecting the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how serious it is. Amen. So there is a redemption for every soul. Because in the mind of God, God has a plan and a purpose. So even before the world was formed, the blood of Jesus was shed. And the Bible says it is the blood that makes atonement for the blood, for the soul. When you think of the blood, you think of the soul. And that's why in this village, you understand very well about blood. You know that when jungle matures, when jungle matures, you bring out blood.
Yes.
Am I telling lies? Huh? People should answer me now. When jungle matures, you bring up blood. Because blood is thicker than water, isn't it? That blood is a sign of covenant. The spirit sees blood. They respect blood. Because blood has life. And that life has light. Amen. Even the blood of a goat. That is why they will bring the blood of a goat. And they will make a sacrifice. That blood begins to speak. But we know there's another blood that has been speaking. In Hebrews 12. He said that the blood of Jesus speaks. The blood of Jesus speaks more than the blood of any covenant that has been made in your family. Amen. Many of us are afraid because we do not. Our foundation is not the.
Amen.
I want to tell you that the priesthood that we are talking about, that this blood we are speaking about has power. Amen.
Amen.
It speaks. It speaks. It shines. There is light in it. There is power in it. There is salvation in it. There is forgiveness in it. There is deliverance in it. Everything you need is what? In the blood. Amen. And let's read that scripture we were reading before. 1 John 5. Let's go back to it. 1 John 5:8. It says, there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. So you have the Spirit, you have the water or the Word of God, and then the blood. So there are three things that bring the life of God to us. There are three things that bring the life of God to us. Right now we are ministering the Word of God, isn't it? This Word has life. Amen. Even if you read it like newspaper, it has life. Amen. How much more when it is anointed? The scripture says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives. Amen. And then the blood also has life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there are, God's life has been given to us, has been shed abroad to us. Why has God done that? So that we can be sons of God. Amen. So God made man in his own image. That is in the basic structure, in the, it's like a skeleton. But you see, that is the outward form. But God is not just interested. God does not always work with the outside. He said, man looks on the outside. But where does God look? God looks on the inside. So there is an inside nature. Amen. Inside our body, there is an inside nature. And God is interested in what is inside that nature. So when you see a man, you see his body. But there is something inside. And that thing that is inside is what God is interested in. And God said that nature inside must have my likeness. Amen.
Amen.
And the likeness of God is what? Light.
Amen.
Amen. So, at the end of your life, at the end of the life of every man, God has the standard measurement. Are you measuring up to that measurement? That measurement is that you will have the likeness of God. And that likeness of God is that you will have changed your nature to the image and the likeness of God. Now, when you look at man, he says the body came from the earth. Because he took the dust and he breathed into the dust, and Adam became a living soul. So you see how those three parts came to being. He says when a man dies, the body goes back. Amen.
Amen.
The spirit goes back to God. Because the spirit is alone. Everybody says the spirit is alone. Yeah, I want you to say it after me because some of you are sleeping. So let's make sure we wake you up. Everybody says the spirit is alone. When I die, it goes back to God. But the reality now goes to face God. Who is the reality? Yes, sir. Upon. Upon. Goes to meet God. And the Bible says, it's appointed unto men. The body will go down. Say dust to dust. The spirit goes back to God. Because it came from God. But the soul goes to God for measurement. And that measurement is to see the amount of Christ that soul has brought forth. Amen. Do you understand? So the question is, how much Christ do you have in
you?
The Bible says, what shall it profit a man to gain all the world and the soul is empty? Can your soul be empty?
Yes.
Because it says there was a talent. God, there's a parable about the talent. So the man put one talent in the soil. That talent is speaking about the measure of Christ. The man did not produce anything. He just hid the talent and he was busy becoming a doctor. He was busy as a housewife. It was busy as a student. At the end of the day, he said, God, take your talent. I've not produced anything. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I hope you understand. At the end of the day, the only thing that matters is Christ. Amen. The only thing that matters is what?
Christ.
Has that seed manifested or grown? It says some to 30-fold. Some to what? 60-fold. And some to what? 100-fold. Many years ago, many of us were interested. We say we wanted fullness. We wanted 100%. Today we will not even talk about 30%. Today, what we know is everything that double, double, that double, double. Everything that double, double, that double, double. My God is good, good. We have forgotten the 100%. We're not even talking about 30%. That is why we are going back. We are going back. The sister is shaking her head. Because she knows many years ago. In this many years ago. Brother O.S., you were there many years ago. Now we have gone to double double. God, we have repented from double double. We are going back. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, we are not of them that draw back. Where are we going to? We are going to the saving of the soul. Amen. The word is true. Amen. So we are bringing a gospel that is talking about the salvation of the soul. Amen. We recognize the body, but we know the soul is more important. Amen. The soul is of more importance. Because God said, what shall it profit a man to gain all the world and to lose the soul? So he's telling you how important your soul is. Amen. Now, all that we have been saying is just introduction. It's a long introduction. But I have done that because some of us as parents, we have not taught our children, and our children are almost gone. It has been going. We are saying, oh God, please, it will not be gone. That's why we are here, to deliver our children. Amen. Because our children are doing traditional marriage. If even the fathers are the ones doing traditional marriage for their. Hey! Amen. The children do not understand this grammar you are speaking about. This tabernacle, Babylon, they don't know what you're talking about. Amen. That's why I have tried to go from the beginning to see how we can move it. Right, if after this time it's still not clear, we will go back again. Paul said we will go back and lay the foundation if it is necessary. Amen. Repentance from dead works and faith unto God. Amen. So when you look at this God and man in the image God has made, the way God has structured it, you can see the number 1 and the number 3. Now, the number 3 means resurrection. 3 is the number of resurrection. And somebody is saying, how do we know? Okay, the scripture says, after 2 days, what will happen? On the third day, what is going to happen? The third day is the day of resurrection. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So today we are talking about resurrection. So even in the God's creation of man, he was prophesying to man. He said, I will bring you into resurrection. Amen.
Amen.
When God looks at you, he sees resurrection. At the back of God's mind, he is expecting a resurrection from you. Resurrection means to come back to life. It means to arise from the dead. Amen. It means something that didn't have life. Now it has life. Something that was dead, now it is alive. Something that was weak, now it is strong. Something that was corrupt, now it is incorruptible. Something that was in shame, now it is full of glory. He says, so is the resurrection of the dead. Amen. Do you understand? Everything about you is about resurrection. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he told Adam in Genesis chapter 2, says, if you eat of this tree, that tree is the tree of darkness. Do you know it is the tree of darkness? Why the other one was the tree of light? Because this one was good and evil. Please tell me, good and evil, what is it? It is evil. Amen. Okay, you want the scripture I will give you. He says, you are neither hot or cold. Amen. And because you are neither hot or cold, what will I do? Because you are darkness. Bible says God is light. And in him is what? No darkness at all. So if you have good, and you have evil in it, what is it? It is darkness. Amen. Now, do you understand the problem that you have? Do you understand the problem that I have? That somebody introduced a seed of darkness into my soul. He said that the woman saw with her eyes. And this man was preaching about the eye yesterday. She saw with her eyes that this tree of darkness was good. Something to be desired. And she took it. And ate it. And that seed has been multiplying. And the children of that seed is called Boko Haram. You understand? It's called kidnappers. It's called all the evil you see. Is the byproduct of that seed. Because Jesus said, the things that define a man are from within. You understand? Amen. The things that defy you are within you. But God says he wants you to have a nature of light. So how are you going to measure up to God when you are born with darkness within you? Amen. Therefore, when you become a Christian, you become engaged in a fierce battle. There is a battle going on. Where is the battle going on? Within the soul. Somebody say, oh no, no, when I don't like trouble. Then go home. Amen.
Amen.
Don't come here. Because those who are in this room are understood to mean that they are at war against darkness. And like the brother was saying, the darkness you are fighting is the darkness within your soul. So he says we are translated from the kingdom of darkness into light. What he actually means is that you begin the process. When you are born again, you begin the process. Amen.
Amen.
And that is the process I want to talk about. So let's look at John chapter 1. This scripture is very important. I don't want you to miss it. John chapter
1.
I'm interested in the last verse. John chapter 1 verse 51.
He said, "By your word, okay."
And he said unto me, unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter, in the year 2014 or 15, you shall see the heavens open, and in a way, and the angels of God will do what? Ascending and descending upon the Son of Man."
Amen.
Amen. Are you excited? I am very, very, very excited. Because he says, there's coming a time when the angels will be ascending and the angels descending. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Would you be annoyed with me if I tell you that there are different types of angels? You have angel. And you have what? Angel man. Oh my God. Hallelujah. So this scripture is telling us that Jesus is a ladder. Is that true? Is that what it means? That Jesus is a ladder. You see these angels climbing up. And if you do very well, you see them also coming down. Amen. So, I want to encourage you to look inward. Because inside you is a ladder. And that ladder leads to heaven. Amen. Christ is the bridge between the heavens and the earth. If you want to come into resurrection, then you need to have Christ in you. Because Christ in you is the hope of God. It is a promise. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that baptism of the Holy Ghost comes into your spirit. But the spirit is a gifted, it's a donation. The Spirit of God doesn't belong to you. Because when you die, your spirit goes back to God. So your soul, which is the real substance, is not benefited. So when the Spirit comes into your spirit, Ephesians say it is the spirit of promise. It is come as a down payment. It is come as Marion, it's just telling you to taste. It is not the reason. The reason is the baptism of the soul. Is the anointing of the soul by the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
So this spirit must go into the soul. Because this is the spirit of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Christ must be found in the soul.
And I put Christ in the soul.
The destination of Christ is your soul. Amen.
Amen.
And when you receive Christ, you begin to climb up the ladder. Amen.
Amen.
It's not only Jesus that talked about this ladder. If you go to Genesis, you see another Christ-like man. His name is Jacob. Amen.
Amen.
You know, Jacob was of the spirit.
Jacob was spirit.
His senior brother Esau was of the flesh.
Amen.
Amen. And Jacob saw the ladder also. And he saw the angels ascending and descending.
Amen.
Amen. The pathway of resurrection is the pathway of light. He says the path of the righteous is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter and brighter until the fullness. So, are you climbing up that ladder? Are you coming into resurrection? Now, when Adam had this problem, and Adam climbed down the ladder, do you understand? How many people hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? Adam climbed down. He climbed down from being a heavenly man. He fell. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I'm climbing back. How many people want to climb back? Amen. How do you climb back? By going to buy a very long ladder in one labor market. You can buy the ladder every day. You climb, start climbing. Well, that is a lot of work, that one. May I show you a more excellent way? That there is a ladder within your soul. Amen.
Amen.
And every perfect man, every man who loves righteousness, are beginning to climb up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, hear a little. Hear a little. He said, we all with an open face, beholding the glory of the Lord. We are climbing from glory to glory. Amen. Every step is one step forward. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So there is a process through which man returns back to the heavens. Adam fell from the heavens. The first Adam fell from the heavens. The last Adam is climbing back to the heavens. So are you part of that company who are climbing back into the heavens? Amen.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15. Sorry, this book is not clean. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us about this resurrection. It says, as we have borne the image of the first Adam, we must also bear the image of the heavenly man.
Amen.
And this heavenly man ate fish. He was a carpenter.
Amen.
They know his father's house. They know his mother's house. He walked among them. So, this gospel is a practical word. Now, before Jesus came, men had an understanding. Now, that understanding was about this resurrection. And about this temple. Now, in John chapter 2, Jesus went to the temple. And he told them, destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. And the scripture says that he spoke of the temple of his body. Now, that was the first time somebody preached that. How many of us know that we are the temple of God? Amen. Where do you know it? In the head or in the heart? Amen. Where do you know it? You know it in the head? Do you know it in the heart? Okay, so I'm going to divide this body into two parts. The Old Testament and the New. Amen. When we look at Exodus 25, verse 8, he told Moses, make me a temple. Make me a dwelling place. Make me a tabernacle. That I may dwell. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Jesus comes almost 4,000 years later. Or 2,000 years later. I said that is the old order. But the problem is that many brethren are still living in the old. They're living in the old here. And living in the new in the head. Amen. So we need to make a change, brother. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So in the Old Testament there were you had the tabernacle. And this tabernacle had three compartments. So you can see the number 1, 2, 3. Now, in the New Testament, you also have three compartments. You have the first one, the second one, and the third one. Amen.
Amen.
In the Old Covenant, you have the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. In this eternal temple, you have the spirit, you have the soul, and you have the body. So you can see the three in one. Amen.
Amen.
So let's look at a scripture, for instance, Romans 12. What does it say? Let's read it. Romans 12. Because I hear that some young people say there is no tabernacle in the New Testament. How many people believe that the Bible doesn't preach tabernacle in the New Testament? Let's speak the truth and shame the devil. There's nobody. Okay. Praise God. Alright. So, Romans 12. The New Testament is filled with story about the tabernacle. And this is one of those multitudes of scriptures. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Bodies. By the way, that word body, if you will not be annoyed with me, when you look in the Greek, it's actually not speaking about the physical body. The Greek word is soma. And soma means the substance that casts a shadow. Yes, you can speak to it as body, but it's speaking about the substance, the reality of the individual.
Body and your faculties.
Oh, good. Okay, good. So it says, the Amplifier says the body and your faculties. Speaking about the soul. So he says, present your soma. Your spirit, soul and body, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So, what God expects you to do today is to present yourself as a living sacrifice. That is your duty for today. Amen.
Amen.
Now look at verse 2. Say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, he has gone to another dimension, and I'm going to follow it. Because I don't have any script. I'm just telling you the things I'm hearing. So he's saying that my body, soul and spirit are the sacrifice God is looking for. So, and there are many ways to apply it. He says that I am a sacrifice. Everything I do is sacrifice. When I'm quarreling with this brother, if I'm quarreling with him, it's a sacrifice. When I feel bad, it is sacrifice. When I am happy, it is sacrifice. When I am cooking, it is sacrifice. Sacrifice is not when you take microphone, you are singing. It is what you are.
Amen.
Amen. That is, I am an offering. That is, I don't have a Christian life and an Aquaibom life. I don't have a student life and a Christian life. I have one life. Amen.
Amen.
I say amen now.
Amen.
I have one life. I need to say sacrifice. Amen.
Amen.
Everything I have belongs to God. So I have given myself to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he's saying something. He said, be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. So he has brought another dimension into it. He's saying, if you want to be changed, the change must begin in the mind. Is that correct? So we can bring another dimension into this temple of God. So we know that the soul has four natures. You have the mind. You have the emotions. You have the desires. And then you have the will. So this is a second dimension. Amen.
Amen.
So you're not just talking about the first dimension of spirit, soul, and body. He's telling you, even when you go into your soul, there are four dimensions. Now he says, this mind, the scripture I'm giving you, you can find it in the whole of Ezekiel. Jeremiah, Isaiah chapter 6. The whole of Revelation, it speaks about the four living creatures. And he says the mind is like that of an eagle. So he's saying within you is the nature of an eagle. By the way, there are different types of eagle, do you know? The chicken is part of the ego family, do you know? Just that it is earth bound. It will never rise above the earth. And that is a prophecy to you. The vulture is also part of the ego family. But it doesn't have the ability to rise very high. But there's the real ego. That one dwells in the sun. Do you understand? So he's telling you that within your mind can rise in God, or you can determine that your mind will be earthbound, ruled by the laws and principles of Akwa Ibom, ruled by the principles and conditions of Nigeria. Or of your familiar spirit. Do you understand? So he told Abraham, you must come out from your family. In the mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The first coming out is not to carry a bag and say, you have come out of assemblies of God. You come and sit down here. He said, I have left their system. Leave that one, Lord. Have you left the system in your mind? Amen. So you must come out from your family in the mind. You must come out from the traditions of Akwa Ibom in the mind. And the traditions of the national spirit. Hallelujah. Remember, the darkness is in the soul. When your sins are forgiven, it doesn't change the nature of this ego. It doesn't change the nature of the lion, because the emotion is like the lion. And the will is the stubborn ox. And the desire is the worst. Is the nature of a creeping, you know, serpent. Or the creeping things. Because the desire has the nature of man. Do you understand? And this man is a fallen man. He's ruled by his belly. The desire is the belly. The belly is the closest and lowest part of the soul. And Ephesians talks about those whose God is their belly. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
When you talk about the belly, you are talking about the nature of the Philistines. The Philistines mean to roll in the mud. To roll in the mud. So you are speaking about the nature of the pig. Today in the mountain. Tomorrow in the valley. Conference in the mountain. After conference from Monday down in the valley. It is the nature that must be overcome.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Will you overcome?
Amen.
On Thursday, you overcome.
On
Friday, you overcome. On Saturday, you overcome. On Sunday, you overcome. There's no problem. When you reach home, then we shall see. Whether you will overcome on Monday. Whether you overcome 1 month after the conference. Your bed will find out. Because you'll be conversing with your bed, whether you'll be crying or you're rejoicing. Hallelujah! Your ability to overcome is if you make the change in your mind. So say, be ye transformed. Be you changed by the renewing of the mind. Hallelujah! That word renew means to receive new strength. When you renew something, you give it more strength. Is it not so? You revitalize it. You are going to get a new government very soon. New commissioners. New, everything will become new. They come with fresh ideas. When you are made new, you receive a new boost. Amen. If you want to make a new turn, the mind must change. The mind must rise from the chicken. It must begin to rise in God.
Amen.
How does the ego rise? They rise by the wind. The stronger the wind, the higher it goes. The stronger the sun, the more it flies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God is going to throw you to the wind. He's going to throw you to the sun. Into tribulation. Somebody is going to gossip with your name. They're going to gossip with your name. What you didn't do, they say you did. Let's see how you rise. Amen.
Amen.
You will soon hear news from your village. They want you to do so and so and so and so. Let's see how you rise.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. After this, you are going to face a condition. The Bible says that the devil is pouring out a flood from his mouth. Amen. There is a flood coming to destroy you. But it says, so that woman was given wings an ability to rise. Now, how do you rise? If you look at Isaiah 55, that's where you get the practical solution. So let's look at Isaiah 55. By the way, what's my time? Okay, 12 o'clock. Oh, it's still morning. Okay, we'll soon be closing for this session. If you agree. Was it the introduction? Okay, Isaiah 55. Okay, let's start from verse 6. This scripture is very important. I want you to note it. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Yagidio
No, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall bring with it, brother O.S., and shall accomplish that which I please. And you shall present him to me, because that is what I desire. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So the word you are hearing is looking for you. It knows your address. It knows your location. It will locate you. Amen. Amen. God wants to locate you. You know now, all the guns they have, they have something that looks for the people they are looking for. Wherever you are hiding, the missile will follow you and come there and beat you. Because the missile follows the heat of the body. Do you understand? Wherever you are, your body is producing heat. And that heat attracts the missile they have shot. Amen. So is the word of God. Your heart is attracting it. If you have a good heart, the word will zero in on the heart. Amen. And when it touches your heart, it is taking it, and it will begin to climb that ladder. Amen. So you don't need to struggle to climb the ladder. Just open your heart to the word of God, and it will take it. And it will take you from one level of glory to another one. Amen. Hallelujah. The word of God cannot come back void. God will have overcomers in Aqua. God will have overcomers in the earth. And I want to be part of it. Amen. I believe that there are men even today who are pressing on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They are rising.
Amen.
Above all the familial, tribal, national spirit. And they are beginning to break through the barriers in their minds. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And also in the emotions.
Yes,
and also in the desires.
Yes,
and also in their will.
Yes,
amen. Because this is a new temple God is
building.
And you are that temple. Hallelujah. It says that we are His workmanship. Being created in 2015. In Christ Jesus. Amen. It's a needle work. Say, the king's daughter shall be presented. Eh? She shall be a needlework. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Amen.
Complete.
Amen.
You know, when they were dedicating the priesthood,
he told
Moses, say, look, I'm going to require them to be separated for 7 days. That was the priesthood of the old order. Do you understand? In this new order, 1 day is 1,000 years. Do you understand? One day is 1,000 years. Oh, somebody says, oh, this, we've been preaching this message since 1970. You see, I've been hearing this message since 1980. I've been hearing this message since 1990. Since the year 2000. Since the year 2010. Even in 2015, they are still disturbing us with this message. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years. Because this priesthood is an everlasting priesthood. It is called the priesthood of Melchizedek. Melchizedek or Christ. Do you understand? Melchizedek was Christ. Before time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If the blood was shed at the foundation of the world, can I ask you some questions? Upon which altar was that blood shed? Upon what priesthood was he shed? And for what purpose was that blood shed? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Leviticus 11 says that the blood makes atonement for the soul. Do you understand the Bible English? What he's telling you is what Moses declared. He said, Lord, that has been our dwelling place in all generations. The soul is older than Genesis. Because Ephesians 1 says that we were in Him. He chose us in Him at the foundation of the world. We were chosen in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. The priesthood of Christ has been before Moses came on the scene. The law began in Moses and ended in Christ. But the law of Christ was before Moses. And our priesthood is an unchanging priesthood. Do you understand? Jesus was not a priest according to that first order. So he did not even enter the temple. Do you understand? He didn't enter the holy place. Hebrews 7 tells us his father was from the tribe of Judah. Concerning which priesthood the Bible did not mention. And our own priesthood is not according to Levi, is it not so? Because the firstborn is the priest. The firstborn is the one that breaks out of the covering. You understand? And this soul is under a covering. Because 1 Corinthians 13 says that as long as the law is read, that there is a veil over the mind. You were born into this world with a covering of darkness over your mind. The Bible says that the God of this world has darkened or covered the soul with darkness. God requires the people that will break through that darkness. When I break through that darkness, I become part of that Melchizedek. It is very dangerous for you to say you cannot overcome. I want to encourage you to appreciate the fact that when you do not overcome, you are disqualifying yourself from the Melchizedek priesthood. And the Melchizedek priesthood is the priesthood of Christ. That is where it is happening. Amen. That is where it is happening. If I do not overcome, I have no part. If I do not break through the veil of the flesh, the veil of corruption, the veil of carnality, of sin, of traditional bride price, of burial rites, of Facebook and all the entertainment, do you understand? If I do not overcome, I am disqualified. But we are not of them that draw back. We are of those who believe that we can overcome. And of those who are pressing on for the saving of the soul. Amen.
Amen.
So, we're just looking at the trying to compare the priesthood of the soul to this old tabernacle. I will have run out of time. Amen. I see many of you are tired, but I am not tired. We are just beginning. But we are going to stop so that you can catch your breath. You can shake your leg. You can receive some strength in your body. And what shall we do after that? Okay, you want us to come back? I am not tired. So if you want to come back, you are welcome. Then we are going to proceed further. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Because I want you to understand that this tabernacle you are talking about, you are the one. Amen.
Amen.
The soul must make a journey from outside the tabernacle and must come to this altar. What you call the Ark of the Covenant is an altar. And it is this soul that must make that journey. Amen.
Amen.
The soul was outside the outer court in
Egypt.
It must end up where God is waiting for it. God says, I will meet with you here between the wings of the cherubim. This is where God is waiting for every one of us in this room. Some people have stopped here. They say it's too strong, I can't go further. Others have come at this altar. He said, the only thing we know is born again. I'm born again. And now one says, no, I'm a Pentecostal man. I'm a Baptist. That is where I want to stop. I'm in the holiness movement. This is where I want to start. Be holy as I am holy. I am all right. The rabbi said, no, I was coming. Because there is something that is happening here. And I hear that there is bread in this place. Amen. And other people have come here. He said, this is the place where they are killing people. Amen.
Amen.
Because here the soul must be killed.
Amen.
Amen. But the Bible says we are a lot of them that draw back.
Eh?
Amen.
Amen.
But we have those who press on to the saving of the soul. Amen.
Amen.
The soul must climb. You must climb that ladder. You must make that journey. Amen.
Amen.
Have you watched Pilgrim's Progress? Along the road, there are many people say, come, let's go here. There are many distractions. There are many discouragements. And one of the biggest distractions is denomination. By the way, the end time has formed the newest denomination. It's called the end time denomination of the world. It's all over the world though, not only in Nigeria, everywhere you find it. Of those who got to the golden altar and turned back. Amen. But we are not of them. Who draw back. We are those who are going to press on. We want to get to the top of that ladder. Because the top of that ladder is in heaven. Amen. We are going to the place where God is going to meet with man. The fullness of God is coming down. Colossians 2 says that the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily. Amen. We are living in the age when the fullness of God is coming down. The Bible says, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in my soul. In other words, my soul is going to become a third heaven. Do you understand? God is relocating into my soul. Hallelujah. It is the biggest thing in the whole universe. And how privileged I am that one, this Jacob Nigerian, will be called to be, will become a partaker of that ministry. Amen. I'm not going to exchange it. If you want to exchange it, God bless you. Amen. We are going for the best. We are going for the fullest. We are going for all that God has for us. And the Bible said that he that began this good work, he is called El Shaddai. Do you understand? He has the strength. He has the ability. He is called Dunamis. That is power that brings forth power. Do you understand?
Amen.
He has the ability to finish what he started in you. He says that the eyes of understanding may be enlightened, that we may know the power, his power toward us. That power is that dynamis within you that is able to make you a son. You cannot make yourself a son. There is only one thing that makes you a son. It's called the spirit of adoption. I hear some people are struggling to be sons. It is the spirit of God that makes you a son of God. It is the spirit of God that makes you a son of God. The spirit of man makes you a man. Don't you understand? That's why you are not a dog. Because you have a spirit in you. Dogs do not have spirit. Amen. The spirit of God is the spirit of adoption that makes us cry. Abba. Abba means I have seen him. I didn't know he was my father. Now my eyes are open. Abba. Father. I say, oh my God, I have resurrected. Amen. We didn't know he was our father. Do you know that heaven is more real than this chair? In that heaven it is called Zion. Angels are there. Spirits of just men are there. The firstborn and the general assembly are there. And they are active. Amen.
Amen.
And then you have a blood that is speaking all the time. That blood is called Radio Zion. I call it Radio Zion. It is 24/7. If you tune to the wavelength within you, you hear that voice. And that voice is more sweeter than Manchester United television. It is more sweet than Chelsea television. It has more video games than PlayStation. Anyone you want, they will give you. If you want video game, they will give you. You want vision, they will give you. You want to hear audio, plenty. You want data, they will give you everywhere. Amen. In His presence is fullness of joy. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Heaven is real. The eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. But they are revealed by the Spirit. Oh my God. This is what. When you begin to hear, when you begin to see, you will confess with John. He said, that which we have seen, that which we have touched, that which we have experienced, is what we are bringing to you. That this man was the word of life from the beginning. Brethren, the days of fairy tale are over. We are getting into the reality now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, now away the sons of God. If you are sleeping, wake up. The sons of God are rising.
Amen.
They are rising from within.
Amen.
They are beginning to see that there is milk and honey somewhere. He said, he's bringing us a light of milk and honey. Oh my God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But then God is encouraging us to rise up. The man fought seven times, he must arise. He told me to carry my bed. Who told you to carry your bed? Jesus told me to carry my bread. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Throw it away. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because the new life is now coming. The true light is now shine. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say, behold, the tabernacle of God is now with me.
Amen.
Amen. The dwelling place of God is coming. Heaven is becoming more real. That distinction is being broken. And you can hear the sons of Zion. You can see the reality of Zion.
Amen.
We have been encouraged, brethren, not to turn back. It may not be as easy as we thought. Amen.
Amen.
But he said the race is not to the swift. Or to the strong. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So the horse is prepared for the battle. But the strength to overcome comes from the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
He said the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's not the back account. It's not the back account. In fact, those who have back account are closing it. They see that it is not to trust in horses or chariots.
Amen.
So I'm going to close before I start another one. So we will break and then we will come back. And then we will go into more scriptures. Praise the Lord. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. We are going to pray. You know, I don't know about you. When the word of the Lord comes like this, there is always one area that captivates my heart.